Well, I'm chewing gum. Hopefully that doesn't seem too rude, but I think I need something to suck on to keep from getting to coughing. So please overlook that. I've got several names written here on this board. Well-known people, if you study the Bible, you probably have heard of Joseph and Mary. I mean, how could you say, no, never heard of that name?
Sure.
You know. You've heard of John the Baptist, important person, one who was the predecessor, one that said Jesus is coming, you know, the great one. Probably heard of Lazarus and Mary and Martha, the one who was raised from the dead. You probably remember that family. Zacchaeus, kind of a notable character that got Jesus' attention. Nicodemus, and then of course Peter and James and John, those who were close to Jesus, ones he specifically chose to be spending time with him. All these very well-known people, very important. Their names are just so common to us, we say, of course I know who that is. They're very well-known people. And we could spend our time talking about anyone, or dwell a little bit and tell how important they were, because names are important. To most people, the most important name there is their own name. And so we have great memorials and great monuments who have names on them. We have Washington Monument, Lincoln Memorial, Carnegie, we have Rockefeller, we have Trump Towers. We have people donate large sums of money that structure, that building, that section will have their name on it, because their name is very, very important. But today, I'd like to look at a few different things. Matthew chapter 8. In Matthew chapter 8, we have someone who is mentioned. We'll read down a few verses there. Beginning with verse 5. Matthew 8, beginning with verse 5. When he entered Capernaum, a centurion came forward to him, appealing to him. You know what a centurion is, probably. That's head of 100 soldiers. That's not the big army. I mean, you think of an army of 100 people back in those days. In the Roman Empire, 100 people. I mean, you know, they couldn't take one little village, probably 100 people. You need a huge army for that. Thousands. Even when we read about Israel, some of them said have about 1 million in their army. So you take 100, someone's over 100, well, he's not exactly in charge of the whole army, is he? Well, this centurion was in charge of a few people, 100 people. It says he appealed to Jesus. Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly. And he said to him, I will come and heal him. But the centurion replied, Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority, with soldiers under me, and I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed him, truly I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith. You remember Jesus once in a while when he was talking to his apostles would say to them, O ye of little faith. What's the name of this centurion? Read Matthew 8. He big wig and he said, I'm so important, you ought to put my name down. Come to my house and we'll put my name up in lights. Not important enough to have his name mentioned. Did he think he was important? He said, I want you to heal my servant, but I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof. You know, I'm not an important person. I need a favor. I need you to help me. But I'm not important enough for you to come in and say, here's my friend, the centurion, and I'm like, no. But he was concerned with Jesus, someone that hadn't seen such faith. as that, or seemingly important enough for Jesus to heal. And Jesus said, you have great faith, but your name's not going to be listed. We're not ever going to be able to say, well, the name of that person, let's keep his name in mind because he's a person of faith. No, not going to do that. Well, in Matthew 15, is this rare or is this common for someone to be listed as important, but not important enough to have their name mentioned? In Matthew 15, beginning with verse 21, and Jesus went from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman. Canaanite? What we got a Canaanite for? Canaanites aren't important. They aren't Jews. A Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon. And he did not answer her a word. She's a Canaanite. Who did Jesus come to be with? The Jewish people, the house of Israel. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, send her away, for she's crying out after us. He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So, you know, what are you doing, Canaanite woman? Come to me. But she came and knelt before him, saying, Lord, help me. I need help no matter who you came to help. I still need help. Please help me. And he answered, it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Are you calling me a dog? How dare you? Oh, is she insulted? Is she upset about it? It's okay if you call me a dog. It's more like what she's saying. She said, yes, Lord. Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Can you give me a few crumbs? Then Jesus answered her, O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire. And her daughter was healed instantly. What's her name? We don't have a clue. She's a Canaanite woman. There's a centurion we read about in Matthew 8. There's a Canaanite woman we read about in Matthew 15. I haven't had such faith in Israel. Great is your faith, you Canaanite woman. Willing to take crumbs that fall from the table to the dogs. Want some crumbs. Just help me. Call me whatever you want. Whatever, if you can help me, that's all I need. Great faith. Who are these people? Nobody. Nobody. 100 people. Nobody. Who's she? Nobody. But nobody could have faith. And not worried about being important and having their name up in lights or having their name listed. Just some nobody who had faith in Jesus. Let's turn to John chapter 4. It's a long reading, so we won't read it. We'll just try to tell you. You know the story. You know the situation. The woman at the well. Okay. You remember the situation. But verse 7 says, a woman from Samaria. How important are Samaritans? They're not very important either. Nobody. What's her name? The woman from Samaria. The woman at the well. That's the way we always refer to her, woman at the well. And she, Jesus asked her for a drink, and she thinks that's strange. Why, a Jewish man asking a Samaritan woman for a drink. That don't happen very often. So he gets involved in a conversation with her, and he talks about living water. Living water? You won't ever go thirsty again? What can he be talking about? Well, go get your husband. I don't have a husband. Well, that's true. You don't have a husband. You've had several husbands, but the one you're with now, not your husband. Whoa, how's he know all these things about me? And so she says, well, I perceive you're a prophet. And she says she knows that the Messiah will come. And he says, I'm he, when speaking to you. Verse 24, the woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. Now, this woman, after talking with him and hearing who he is, and knowing that he knows everything about her, even though this is the first time she's ever seen him or met him, how does he know these things about her? Well, he's a prophet, at least. And he tells her, she mentions Christ and said, that's me. So what's she do about it? When she hears and knows who Jesus is, he is the prophet. Well, she goes and tells people what she's heard. And many Samaritans, verse 39, many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony, told me all that I ever did. She goes and tells it in such convincing fashion that they believe what she has to say, that you have met the Messiah. Now, how she could convince them, I don't know. And who is she? Nobody. But she hears and knows who Jesus is, and she tells other people who Jesus is. And many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. She's able to convince people from what she says that she has met the Messiah. Learned, and she told, convinced others. Short, easy words for me to write down. She learned about who the Christ was, and she told others. Is that important? It's nobody. That nobody believed who Jesus was, and he told other people, and she told other people, and they believed who Jesus was. Just some unimportant nobody. Make sure I'm getting the right references for each one. In Luke 24. Again, this is a lengthy reading, and again, I'll read about as much as I did the other time, not a whole lot. Verse 13, that very day, that is after the resurrection, that very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. Who are they? Two people. What's their names? The people going to Emmaus. There's two people walking to Emmaus. They're really important. Just people walking to a village. And as they're walking, they're talking among themselves about things that have just happened. They've heard something about the resurrection. And they're puzzled and they're confused. And they don't understand it very well. And as they're walking along, Jesus joins them. And he starts telling them. First he asks them a question, you know. They say, what things are you talking about? Well, haven't you heard? How could you be around here? How could you be alive in this area and not have heard what all the rumors, all the things people are telling about the Jesus being raised from the dead? So as he walks with them, he starts talking through them and explaining about himself and about the scriptures. Verse 32, they said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?" While they're listening, they can hardly contain themselves. All these, he's explaining to us things we didn't really understand and know about. And how far they had walked, I don't know. But at 7 miles from Jerusalem to Emmaus, maybe they were 6 miles away. Maybe he caught them in the 6th mile. I don't know. Maybe the 3rd mile. I don't know. But he had long enough time to explain to them about the scriptures. But what did they do after they heard about it? Verse 33, and they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. It's nighttime. It's late. They've been walking for 7 miles. And now they turn around and they go back the 7 miles to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how it was known to them in the breaking of the bread. They heard about Jesus. They learned about it. And then they walked the 7 miles to tell, who are these guys? I don't know. Nobody's. Unimportant. We don't know their names. We don't know anything about them, hardly at all. Except Jesus walked with them and they learned who he was. They couldn't contain themselves. They're just burning with this news. It's just swelling up inside them. They had walk another 7 miles to tell the people what it's about. Well, nobody's. Luke chapter 17. Beginning with verse 11, when it's short readings, I'll read it to you. Long readings, I'll let you read it for yourself. Luke chapter 17, 11. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourself to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." There are 10 lepers saying, "Jesus, have mercy on us." How important is a leper? What's the name of that leper? Leper, unimportant person. I mean, don't even get near me. You're a leper. I don't want to touch you. What did this? He had to turn back and praise Jesus. Thank him. I mean, if you're healed from leprosy, is that important? Yeah. How many people turned back? 10 were healed. We don't know his name. He was just some nobody. Nobody can praise Jesus. Worth hearing about. Show us that nobody praised Jesus and pleased Jesus that he praised. John chapter 9. It's a long reading. You've heard that before, I imagine. So, this is about the blind man. Verse 1, as he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. A man blind from birth. Does that make you important? How important is a blind person? What can they do? Well, back in those days, they couldn't do much of anything except beg, could they? And so he was badly in need of his sight, so he could be a worthwhile participant in society. But he needed his sight. And Jesus healed him on the Sabbath. And the Pharisees, they couldn't believe, well, he probably wasn't really blind. It probably something different than that. And they questioned him. Verse 17, so they said and again to the blind man, what do you say about him since he has opened your eyes? Now they didn't know, they didn't have a clue. What is this, some sinner, you know? He couldn't really heal you. So it had to be some trick or something. What do you say about him? He says, he's a prophet. Well, let me check with the parents and see. Now, his parents didn't want to say what they thought about it. Why not? Verse 22, his parents said these things because they feared the Jews. They said, ask him, whatever. They feared the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be the Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. His parents, how do you expect us to know? We weren't there. Ask him. He'll tell you what happened. We're afraid to say. So they ask him again. And they ask him, they say, we don't know about this man. How can he be any good? And he says, verse 30, why, this is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. You know, hey, what do you think, guys? Just somebody walking along says, I'll heal you, and I'm healed. And we don't know where he comes from. We don't know what power he's got. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. So, he praises God, gives thanks to God. This man is from God. Isn't it obvious? I'm blind, and I knew that. Blind because of your sins, probably being punished for your sins. Who are you to tell us? No one. We're casting you out of the synagogue. You can't become in here. That's how important you are. You're nothing. We're important. Well, one more, Matthew 26. Beginning with verse 6. Now, when Jesus was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, a woman came up to him with an alabaster flask of very expensive ointment. What's her name? Well, she's a woman. She's got a flask of ointment. and she poured it on his head as he reclined at table. And when the disciples saw it, they said, "That is so nice of you. We're going to put your name up in lights. We're going to write it down and let everybody remember who you are." And when the disciples, who saw it? The disciples saw it. People who believed in Jesus saw it. They were indignant, saying, "Why this waste? You're just wasting this. For this could have been sold for a large sum and given to the poor." Don't you realize how valuable that is? You could have helped a lot of people, and here you are wasting it, pouring it on his head. Boy, how dumb is that? But Jesus, aware of this, said to them, "Why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a beautiful thing to me. For you always have the poor with you, but you not always have me. In pouring this ointment on my body, she has done it to prepare me for burial." Yes, it's very soon Jesus is going to die and be buried. "Truly I say to you, wherever this gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her."
We have a wasteful woman. Wasteful woman. She was just giving this ointment to Jesus, pouring on it, wasting it, pouring on his head. That's like giving in a contribution to the church. That's a waste. You could spend that on clothes for people. You could help poor people. You could feed them, the hungry. Why would you waste your funds giving? That's all it wants your money anyhow. It's a wasteful woman. What's her name? But what is said about her in that passage? Wherever the gospel is preached through the whole world, this will be said in memory of her. In memory of someone, we don't even know her name, but in memory of her. Another nobody. Well, those Rockefeller and Carnegie and Trump and those, they don't want to be nobodies. You want to be a nobody? You want to be a nobody? Prepare to take the Lord's Supper. Who did Jesus die for? Nobody's. So we died for. Let's think in those terms as we sing a song and get ready to take the Lord's Supper.